Welcome to Church Online as we gather together today. My name is Craig. I'm the Associate Pastor here at Adelaide West. As we do each week, I invite you to light a candle as a symbol that although we are apart, as we gather, we worship together and Christ is present in our midst, even in these uncertain times. We're coming just out of Homelessness Week. It's held annually in the first week of August and is an opportunity to raise awareness of people experiencing homelessness, the issues they face and the actions needed to achieve enduring solutions. Homelessness robs people of dignity and self-worth, so together we pray for more social and affordable housing to end homelessness. Today we are privileged to have the Reverend Dr. Phil Carr sharing with us once again. Phil is a retired minister at Adelaide West, and we look forward to his message today. People all over the world sing this song. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. At the time of filming, we can't sing at in-person services, so let's sing together, how great thou art. How great you are.
Son not spared. The Bible reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 25 to chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Here's a puzzle. What do these three very different life experiences have in common? First, walking through the Daintree rainforest down to the reef on a coolish August morning. Second, gazing at the Milky Way wheeling in the midnight sky from top of snow-capped Mount Kosciuszko. And three, celebrating in a maternity suite when your little ray of sunshine in the shape of a long-awaited child enters the world. And the answer? Each of these experiences has the potential to invoke in us feelings of awe and feelings of wonder. Now, here's a strange thing. These very same emotions can be aroused by more down-to-earth moments. Like recently, when an unexpected conversation in a car park touched my soul with deep joy. Or when a member from a previous church saw me in the chemo suite at Calvary Hospital and massaged my feet through the whole procedure. To me, it was like an anointing. We are creatures who experience a myriad of emotions. The American author Dale Carnegie wrote, "When dealing with people, remember you are not dealing with creatures of logic, but creatures of emotion." Now, broadly speaking, the gamut of human emotion can be grouped under four broad headings: feeling glad, feeling sad, feeling bad, and feeling mad. And of all our emotions, the one forever causing us great concern is anger. Anger is an explosive emotion, a destructive force, a weapon. It's volatile, impulsive, and shows little restraint. Angry people say and do things they'd normally never say or do. Prisons are filled with those who've committed crimes in anger. A few weeks ago, a person was shown on the television news in a newish four-wheel drive who, in anger, rammed a sedan. And as he began to just drive off, he noticed a person on the footpath who was videoing what he had done. So he drove directly at that person who only just avoided being run over. That's what anger can do. Crazy things. People in general, and Christians in particular, commonly deny their anger, repress the emotion. To be angry, they say, is a sin. In today's reading, Paul wrote that we must put away all anger and malice, because showing our angst could indicate a limited appreciation of God's grace. Jesus spoke of anger in his Sermon on the Mount. He said, "I tell you, Anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. Now, while many Christians adopt the what I call no anger response, studies suggest that repressing anger can lead to other personal pathologies, that denying our anger can damage us and weaken us, can eat away at us from the inside out. Not surprisingly, in the last 50 years, another view believes that it's healthier to show anger, to ventilate anger. But these days, even further evidence suggests that expressing anger actually makes us angrier. Additionally, it can stir up a rebounding resentment in other people. So it seems we're damned if we show it, and we're damned if we don't. But here's where the Bible comes to our rescue. Mentioned about 10 times is the notion of slow anger. Not no anger or show anger, but slow anger. Slow anger is actually an attribute of God. In the Bible it says, "I am the Lord your God who is slow to anger." Now, slow anger is different. It's neither repressed nor expressed. Rather, it's confessed. It's considered. So much so that any subsequent response is more than mere emotion. It's something that's been thought through, something that's deliberate. Jesus was slow angry that day in the temple. He didn't simply erupt when he got there. He already knew the tricks that temple staff used to fleece the faithful of their precious few shekels. So he rehearsed his response ahead of time. So his was a different kind of anger, not blatantly vengeful or punitive, rather one that where he wanted people to be redeemed. And in that situation, for those crooks in the temple courts to mend their ways and to treat pilgrims justly. His slow anger was as much about love, because when you think about it, love and slow anger are close allies. Now, today I can't canvas this huge topic in 12 minutes. Suffice to say, when we're offended or hurt by someone, slow anger, taking time to think about what has just happened, is our best response. And because slow anger always has love in the mix, it will involve forgiveness sooner or later, which is why Jesus forgave people every time, even from the cross. And to follow him means choosing the same pardoning path, if for no one else's sake, but our own. But apart from those times when people offend us, there are situations when not to get angry is definitely a sin. We are meant to feel slow anger for people being mistreated. Minorities, refugees, the homeless, the poor, Indigenous people, victims of abuse and domestic violence. We're meant to get upset because we're meant to care about them. You see, it's one thing to say in the relative safety of a church that we love our neighbour, but it's something else again to see injustice and to get slow angry, so much so that we get down in the ditch with some of these people in order to try and do something about their situation. That's slow anger. It moves us beyond the so-called thoughts and prayers to take robust action. And churches with ministries that directly engage people who are up against it are the ones who I believe truly love their neighbour. Friends of mine serve food to street people at the Hutt Street Centre and Mary Magdalene's in the city. There's a congregation not far from here who did the usual church things, but who clearly love their neighbours. They sponsored a Sudanese family to Australia. They sold arts and crafts and donated the proceeds to an African mission who assist children who'd lost a limb as a result of a landmine accident. This church ran a cafe and an op shop, and they held cooking classes for local primary school children. And all that from a congregation of around 20 people. Beloved, faith is more than saying that we love our neighbour. It's a bodily, wholehearted, passionate commitment to achieve better outcomes for them. And to do that, to move beyond mere words in the pew, the church must be inspired not only by love, but also by anger, by slow anger. We love others when we feel the burn of slow anger and become involved like that Good Samaritan. Now, to speak about the need to be angry can disturb us. To say it's a sin not to get angry might seem wrong to you. It might be easier to talk about a walk in a rainforest or stargazing or parental joy. But if we don't passionately reach out and love people who are finding life difficult, we'll quickly find ourselves adrift from God's world and in time become little more than chaplains to our own personal needs. To follow Jesus is to walk in his footsteps, right? And that means not only loving God, our Father, with all we are, but also to have this slow anger and overturn a few tables here and there. And now a prayer. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, both his slow anger and purity. Spirit divine, all my nature refined, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Amen.
Stone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
On heights of love, on depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin in death. This is the power of Christ in
Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you that we are all members of one body, that Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. Lord Jesus, in you alone, our hope is found. You are our light, our strength, our song. We're sorry for those times when we separate ourselves from you, when we don't get angry about the injustices we see, and when we get angry about the wrong things, the petty things. Thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven through your life and death here on earth. Holy Spirit, help us to use our anger to speak powerfully and make a change. We pray with our neighbours for kindness and care. Help us to give honesty, justice, practical support and kindness where they're needed. And may we also receive honesty, justice, practical support and kindness when we are in need. We pray for our world today, for places where there is injustice, where there is inequity, where people are hungry, live without dignity, suffer in war, struggle with COVID. We pray today for those that are homeless in our world and in our nation, for those who've had to flee their home and country and find themselves in refugee camps. We pray for a home for them, that nations would show kindness and compassionate love. We pray for the homeless in our nation. We pray for more social and affordable housing to end homelessness, for help that brings dignity and self-worth. And Holy Spirit, we pray for those people on our hearts today, those struggling with restrictions, lockdowns, those grieving, having health issues, and so many people in our lives that we just want to lift to you today. Be with them. Wrap them in your love, your healing love, we pray. And as we do each week, we bring you our offerings, our financial giving and our practical giving. And we ask that it would help to share your love, the good news of Jesus, to the people around us and the people further away. Lord, you call us out upon the waters, and there we find you in the mystery. Thank you that in oceans deep, our faith will stand. And so we lift our prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
There I find you in the midst.
We hope today's service has brought you hope. And thanks to Phil for sharing with us today. If you would like prayer, either press the button if you're watching live or send us an email. We'd love to pray with you. And now into God's gracious care I commit you, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless and with exceeding joy before the only loving God, our Father. Amen.
Jesus commands by destiny, no power.